What's up? It's the Brunch Breakdown. Dee Dee out here in Los Angeles. Chris is gone this week, but Dan is here, and that is what I like. Dan is in Pittsburgh. Chris is gone this week. Mainly, it's our fault. It's not Chris's fault this week, so I can't even make like a joke about it because it's actually, he was like, I'm ready to go Sunday, guys. Me and Dan were like, we can't do Sunday. So, Chris is somewhere at Raising Cane's. He hasn't left there since he did a video.
Yeah, maybe we need to talk about that. I don't know if you want to wait till next week, but there's some dirty laundry to be aired there.
Is there really? Because I didn't watch the video yet.
Well, no, neither did I. I thought you did. I didn't watch it.
I haven't watched it yet. But
Okay. All right.
I'm a little angry with him, but
all we know is he went there and he didn't notify either of us. Most importantly, you.
Yeah.
We've brought that up. There's been topics on this podcast about it, and he didn't even let us know.
Yeah, a little mad at him, but whatever. We've got a great show today. We're going to be talking about the eclipse. We've got artists we want to see do different genres because, you know, Beyonce is all the talk, putting out the country album. So who else do we want to see doing different genres? We got the weirdest stuff we saw. I'm not going to Coachella. The first time I'm missing Coachella, basically since I moved to Los Angeles and I'm going through a little withdrawal. We're going to talk about that, get into music. We've got more. Dan, let everybody know where they can find the Brunch Breakdown.
Happily, anywhere podcasts are available is where you can find the Brunch Breakdown. The big guys, the little guys, the guys in between, we're there each and every Wednesday. New episodes, they come straight to you. Just hit follow or subscribe. Make it easy, people. That download will occur instantly. Whenever you open your podcast app, it'll be right there ready for you to take on the go. No internet really required from that point forward. So it's a beautiful thing. Every Wednesday, new episodes. We have full video episodes as well. We got a couple of visuals today that'll help tell some stories as we do. This is, you know, mostly an audio podcast, but video is important too. You want to see our beautiful faces, you can kind of see what we're talking about. So check out the videos. Those are on YouTube and they're on Facebook. And yeah, they're on Spotify, premiering at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and on demand anytime you want to watch after that. It's that simple. Of course, we're everywhere on the social medias, all the medias, the Facebooks, the X's, the Instagrams, the Threads, the Trailers, and the TikToks, where you can find the little Brunch Bite clips, catching up on things throughout the week. And then, of course, don't forget, we give you music every week. We're talking about it. We'll talk about it here again at the end of the episode. We put that into a beautiful little playlist. We call it the Sounds of Brunch. I mean, it's literally made for your weekend brunch plans, people, and you'll get to know exactly what we're listening to this week. We call it the Sounds of Brunch. We update that on Spotify exclusively every Friday.
U-T-Full, Daniel. Thank you. Well, like we said, Chris is not here this week, but we like to start the show off by getting different topics off our chests. And Chris wasn't here, but he's here in spirit. Let's go to Chris.
Let's go to Chris. Boy, I can't wait. What does he have for us this week? Chris,
we get it off your chest.
But I did want to provide my very important thoughts because I know people tune in specifically to hear what is on my mind because I'm very important. So let's dive into a very short and sweet observation that I had after the events of this past weekend, which, as many people know, the Women's National Championship game occurred on Sunday. And what I want to talk about is the fact that that game occurred mid-afternoon on a Sunday. And for Dee Dee, out on the West Coast, it occurred at lunchtime. And all along this women's tournament, we've been talking about how TV ratings are so good, how people are tuning in. And yes, a lot of that has to do with the quality of basketball and the star power that there is in the sport. But I would just like to also point out a really important variable to go along with those things. That important variable is that they're playing games at the times that people can actually watch the entire game. What a concept! So I would like men's college sports to maybe think about adopting this new game plan of putting really important games, football, basketball, whatever sport it might be, putting those games on television at times where people can actually watch them. I'm sick and tired of college basketball games being played at like 9 o'clock at night. I'm sick and tired of the college football playoff kicking off at 8:30. when everybody knows I'm not personally going to make it to the second quarter. And there's a lot of other tired parents out there who aren't going to make it either. So let's think about this. Okay, we still have like 5 months till the next football season starts. We have a lot of time to plan. We have a lot of time to plan and figure out what's going to be best for everybody. I know this doesn't affect Didi because he lives in La La Land, okay? And he gets to watch sports all day long and then go to bed at a normal hour and know exactly what happened in the sports world. Good for you. I lived on the West Coast for 1 year. College football season was the most magical thing I've ever experienced. It was pure bliss. And since I've returned back to the East Coast, I haven't watched a lot of fourth quarters. I haven't watched a lot of third periods. But boy, would I like to, okay? So, I don't know. Who do we know? What do we got to do? Who can we talk to make this happen? Because I don't think that there's any coincidence that that's playing a role. Let's just, mid-afternoon, man. What a sweet spot. What do you guys think?
Passionate.
Very passionate for this early time. And I got to tell you, 25 million people, that's where the game peaked yesterday. And the game was close. So I don't know where that peak hit, but 25 million people, which based on the Elite Eight, the Final Four, I kind of felt like that was going to happen because the game was on Sunday. But I will say noon, a little too early for a big game on the West Coast. I got to tell you, 3 o'clock for you guys. Now that's, we're on to something here.
Sure. But
noon, because I was out doing a commercial shoot. So like I missed most of the game, right? Because honestly, I didn't even know. I thought the game was on at 3 o'clock my time. I didn't know it was on at noon my time. Ooh. That was another thing, right? So I was a little frustrated with that. But even if I were home, that's a tricky time. I don't want to be inside at that time. So yeah, 12's a little early. 3 is perfect. 12, cool. 12 in the winter, cool. But like it was like 80s in LA. Like this was like, I felt like the first feelings of summer was this weekend. And like, yeah, just it's like hard to be inside at noon. But I hear
I'm glad you mentioned that. I was curious your thoughts because everybody knows, and you lived on the East Coast most of your life, and we've complained a number of times on this podcast about the late starts for specifically championship games. You know, Chris referenced the 9 o'clock tip, 8:30 kickoff, things like that. But yes, the audience on the West Coast is large, and if those are played during the week, which most of the men's championships are, what are you going to, you can't start that game in the middle of the afternoon in the West Coast, right? You can't do it. Now, Sunday, let's have a conversation. I'm down for that. I was curious though, I would like to ask him like where, and this is specifically a question for you and for him as a parent, where do you come into conflict with like kids' activities and stuff like that? During the weekends, during the day, I feel like there's a lot of that going on. So there's also risk of missing the game because of that. Like that stuff you can't move around. You can stay up later. He chooses not to. Right? He chooses not to. And I get it. And he's been that way for a long time now. But I wanted, that would kind of be my rebuttal point. And I can't speak on that experience. But I figured, especially like you said, when weather's nice, kids got activities and stuff going on. Sunday at noon, 1, 2, 3, you got your birthday parties and such. I mean, I'm sure there's a barrier there too, right?
No, that's also another problem. That's kind of what I was getting at is like at noon, like if I would have been home and not like working, the kids had a birthday party on Sunday that Siobhan took the kids to, right? Mm-hmm. So like if I would have been at that birthday party, or at least for some of it, or at some point. So it's just noon's a little, that's too early. 3 is like a solid spot, but like, you know, but I get what he's saying. Cause like there are certain things, and this is honestly, they cannot change this. They can't change this. They need to make the men's like go back. They need to make the men's go to where the women are, because the reason the ratings are so great for this is because the times of these games were perfect. The days of these games were perfect. And this championship game peaking at 25 million, most watched sporting event outside, like that wasn't football or the Olympics since 2019. Like crazy. And it's because it was on at a time and in a day that people were like, I'm just going to watch this because it's on. Mm-hmm. Like tonight's national championship game, what time is it going to start? 9 on the East Coast? It's going to start at 6 here. And it's like, and no one already doesn't care about watching Purdue and UConn regardless. But if it were on, but if it were on a Sunday at a normal time, I would be like hyped to watch this game and just like have it on. It would just be something we just turned on. But like Monday takes effort, you know?
Yes.
I think with college sports, they got to change these, just this stuff happening on Monday nights and Thursday nights and whatnot. Like it's just, I just think it's better for just wanting to just schedule your day around something. And Thursday and Monday, and that has nothing to do with being a parent. I just think it's just like, Thursday and Monday? Like,
yeah,
you know, because more than likely, and listen, you live with someone who may or may not be a big, humongous football fan. So, like, you know, it's a lot easier to get people to chill on the couch and do something on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, you know, than it is to get somebody to do something on Thursday night or Monday night. It's like, no, like we're watching Law and Order tonight. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like,
and if, and if you don't think that people will on a, you know, regular basis, if you move specifically college, right? If you move championships to the weekend, move the men's championships to the weekend. If you don't think that that can work, ask golf fans if they're willing to sit inside all day on a Sunday in the spring and in the summer rather than go out and live their lives and do things. And the answer is a most definitely yes. We're what, a week away from the Masters. Next Sunday, people are going to be sitting home in their couches from noon to 6:30 watching that. And they'll enjoy it that way. That's the time. Maybe we set aside, maybe this is the time. 3 p.m. West Coast, 6 p.m. East Coast. I think we could all get behind that.
Yeah, dude. Like, and that makes so much sense because if you tell me that because like I'm not the biggest golf fan, but if you tell me that someone is making a run for Tiger's record or someone's doing something crazy or there's, you know, it's like two big names or like, you know, on it, like at 2:30, I'm in.
Yeah.
On Sunday. And I think that's like the sweet spot, 2, 3 o'clock, whatever it is, you know, that's the spot on a Sunday. It's like, why are more stuff is on Sunday? Like, why do you think the NFL is so big? Because they put their shit on Sunday. Like, it's one game and it's Sunday. And that's what it is. It's these national championship games. It's one game. It's not seven games. It's one game. The Masters on Sunday, if it's names that people know and whatnot, it's one day. And everyone's going to be tuned in at that time at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever it is. We're all going to be on Twitter and we're like, what the fuck? This is crazy. Like, God, men's, what are we doing? Chris is right there. Chris is right there. He could stay up a little later. Like, you can do it. You know?
Like, that part's a choice, right?
That's a choice.
It blows. Don't get me wrong. It sucks. And as a parent, I'm sure it's far worse, but it does suck. But at least there's a choice, I guess. But yeah. I'm on board with what he said. Let's move it. Take Sundays back. When the NFL's off, take Sundays back, people.
Yeah. These one-game situations.
Exactly.
Sundays. Saturdays. Like, why isn't it just that, like, you know, Saturday and Sunday, or why weren't both games on Sunday? Like, why couldn't you just put, if the women's game was on at 3 o'clock, like it's on 3 o'clock, you could put the game right after it. They should be in the same place right after each other. Like, why not just make the whole day the national championship? Like, you could do this. You could do this.
It can be done. WrestleMania is on Sunday, people. There were 145,000 people in Philadelphia this weekend to watch WrestleMania, and there'll be a fraction of that watching Raw tonight.
Dan, get it off your chest.
You know, Didi, some things we just, as a society, as a planet, just don't do it anymore, right? Even some like really traditional things we learn over time that some things just aren't worth doing, right? Even things, you know, again, entrenched for decades, people after a while are like, why do we still do this? Tradition, whatever. It's just time to stop, you know? Smoking on airplanes and smoking in restaurants. Like, we had had enough. It was like, this is dumb. No more of this. Limiting who could vote. How stupid was that? And that was for a very, very long time. We've moved on. Back in the days when you would go on vacation and you didn't, or frankly couldn't, communicate with anybody back home, you couldn't let anybody know you made it safe unless you found a landline somewhere at the hotel lobby. And like, you wouldn't even do that. You'd just be like, we'll see you when we get back. That's it, right? Writing in cursive. Didi, I've been told that writing in cursive is being taken out of the classroom.
Yeah, it's done.
Even. It's done. Like, people are realizing this isn't really necessary. Learn how to sign your name. That's it. Okay. And so those are just a couple of things, not to mention the, you know, endless thing that just technology has ended alone, right? That's a very, very long list. But other things as well. But one thing that we still do for some ridiculous reason, and it's also on broadcast television. Pro bull riding. Professional bull riding. Didi, in 2024, what in the hell are we doing? Still letting people ride bulls and putting it on TV. Why on earth is this still a thing? This is one of those things that should have been like, you know what? That was a pastime. That was, you know, long history, whatever. And then we realized this wasn't a good idea. And this is kind of stupid. You know, for where we are as a society, you know, having a person get on the back of an angry bull, by the way, who's trying to throw it off of them and still calling this a sport? I don't want to get PETA involved, but how have they not, you know, had enough clout in this? And people are paid for winning this, and networks pay to put this on TV, and advertisers, people with time. There's a time for everything. Like the great John Cena once said, your time is up. My time is now. Forget the history of professional bull riding. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear all those bulls are treated so well. You wouldn't blah, blah. I don't want to hear it. It's weird. It needs to go away. I'm calling for the end of pro bull riding.
Did you watch Pro Bowl riding this weekend?
It was on a television. I didn't pick to put it on, but I was in an area where there's a lot of TVs, and there was a channel just dedicated to PBR there, Pro Bowl riding. And that's what just made me go, wow. A full arena there. And they're loving it. They're eating it up.
So, it's funny because you've met her.
Oh,
So
gosh.
Katie Harrison used to
Oh,
be
yeah.
Katie Boggs. Katie Harrison was a host with me on the morning show on Radio Disney. Me, Katie, and
Of course.
Gonzo. You've met
Of
Katie.
course.
She is the head broadcaster of PBR.
Get out of
The
here.
head. So whether you saw her or not, but on CBS, basic, I don't know what their schedule is, but I feel like it's every Sunday. Katie is on there.
They're doing it
It,
on Sunday. They're killing it.
dude,
Come on.
killing it every Sunday. I always see Katie on there, so shouts to Katie. But yeah,
Wow.
it is a weird thing. But yeah, dude, Katie has made a living off it. She's one of the broadcasters on it, and it's so funny. Because it's bull riding, and bull riding is an interesting. I'm like, dude, I have no idea. I got nothing on. I have no idea. But I'm also somebody who really likes horse racing, and that has its whole inhumane problems too. You
Sure,
know,
yep.
and I grew up next to a dog track where people bet on dogs. I don't know if that's something that still happens. We do a lot of weird things here that still go on. And yeah, bull riding's up there. But at least the bulls, at least they get the. You know, because the horse, they're like whipping them. But then, like, the
Yeah.
bulls, like, you know, they at least get like to throw people somewhere. So I guess it's like kind of
True. The bowl
fair.
usually, I guess the
The bowl
bowl, you
wins
know,
every time.
wins every time,
Every
right?
time. Yeah.
Every time. But
Yeah.
I think they like crank those things up before they open that gate. I don't think they're just like, okay, buddy, get ready. It's almost your turn. I think they try to fire those bad boys up.
It's
I think they
possible.
do. I
It's
think they do.
Dude, it's possible. I don't know. I just wonder, like, do
it's
you
just
even pet
weird.
bulls? Like, it's not
Yeah,
like it's
it's
a
weird.
cat.
Right. It's just, and they still have those clowns out there with the barrels.
Yeah.
Like, there are just some things where you like look up and you're like, what are we doing in this year of our planet? But shout out to Katie. I hope she enjoys what she's doing. That's incredible. The voice of PBR. You know, I'm not trying to take her out of a job or anything like that, but it's a weird sport, people. It's a weird sport.
We do a lot of things. Maybe that's a topic for another episode. Things that we still do here. You're like, why?
Yeah.
Why do we still do that?
There's plenty to discuss there. Yeah, there's definitely a lengthy topic in that one.
Yeah. Good God. All right. I want to get this off my chest. More about women's basketball, honestly. Just shouts to everyone in women's basketball for making this work out. Like, I know there was some kind of, people were dumb because, like, you know, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, like, a lot of people were like, oh, Caitlin Clark wanted to lose at this point. Angel Reese, like, people were like, oh, why is she crying at her press conference? Whatever. The thing that made me feel good about people being stupid was that we were taking women's sports. We were talking about women's sports like we talk about men's sports. And I thought that was really fucking cool. I did. Because we had all the, because everyone had the dumb hot takes about women's college sports as women's college basketball, as they do men's college basketball and pro basketball and football and whatnot. And it was cool to see women's college basketball lead shows. And just honestly, to be like, not even hating on men's college basketball. It was just like, we don't know you guys. We know these people. Like, we've watched Caitlin Clark succeed and fail for 3 years. Like, we've watched South Carolina become this big rise. Like, we know Dawn Staley, she might be the most popular coach in college sports at this point. Like, who else is there? Like who's there? Like, honestly, like, Nick Saban's gone. Like, we know, like, Calipari's there. Like, I don't, who else?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. She might be the most famous person. She might be the most famous coach in college sports right now. Like, and I just think that is so cool. So, like, shouts to freaking Paige Beckers and Juju and Flage and what's her name? Hannah something in Notre Dame and just Cameron Brink. And it just awesome. Like, I just loved every second of it. And it was just so cool to just be like, yeah, like, college, like, women's basketball is here, and then it's all going to go to the WNBA. And I saw JJ Redick, who is the wet blanket of basketball, and I really don't like listening to JJ Redick talk about basketball. He's so boring, and I love JJ as a player, but good God. Anyways, he broke down on his podcast like that this was all coming, it just takes time. It was like the first time there was basketball in the Olympics for men's basketball was 1936. First time was women, it was 1979. It was like the NBA started in 1951. The WNBA started in 1996. So it was just like, he's like, this was coming. And it's like, and it's here now, it's here. And it's all coming in like the same amount of time that like the NBA began. And it was just like, cause it was one tape, cause the NBA was on tape delay, playoffs, championships, one tape delay. Then Magic and Bird came in the '80s. So we're talking 30 years of basketball before they were like, you know what? Let's put this on live TV. Let's do that. And then like with women's basketball, it's like, it's hitting this moment right now where you have it, just the whole game has evolved. And it's like, when you look at the time period, you're like, oh, this makes sense. Like, this isn't something that's just going to be here for like a second. Like, this is happening now. And it's just been, it was just really cool to see, and just the ratings numbers and all of that. And just honestly, having that feel of knowing players again in college sports was just awesome. And the personalities. So dudes, step up your game, because these girls have personalities. They've got game. They've got all this shit. And it's awesome. Like, you're seeing them in all these commercials. None of these dudes are in commercials. That big ass dude from Purdue. It's the only person we know. I don't even know his name. Big ass dude from Purdue. He ain't in no commercials. None. He ain't in no commercials, but all these other Caitlin Clark and State Farm ads, Juju Watkins and AT&T commercials. Like, what do we, like, come on. Like, Angel Reese is on Vogue. Like, come on, dudes. Step your shit up. Stay in school for a while. It might work out for you. Like, but yeah, it's just been a really cool month watching Women's March Madness and seeing everybody enjoy this sport, and it was cool. So just wanted to get that off my chest.
It has, and like you said, you hope it continues. You hope that Caitlin Clark can have some momentum into the WNBA, and all those other women that you mentioned that still have eligibility left in college eventually move on. And you hope that the college game still has as much momentum next year, and it should, right? Like, obviously, the big name Caitlin Clark leaving, but there's a lot of other of those women you mentioned that are still going to be there, and South Carolina's still going to be there. And a lot of rising talent too, that you hope that continues the wave. But yeah, you wonder then after that, are we hopefully no more than say 10 at the most, 10 years away from a long-term effect on the game? And I say that like comparing what Steph Curry has done to the NBA. You've now got players that grew up watching Steph Curry in the NBA. He's changed the game the way he played. So these women changing what, not even how the game is played, what the game is, right? And just the overall visibility and how awesome it is, and how it's like a pride thing now about this women's game and women's sports, that you hope that young girls in their teenagers, even younger than that, are growing up watching this. And then just a few years, not a few decades, in JJ Redick's examples, has those effects, and we can continue to see the men momentum as the men's game completely collapses in front of our eyes, as it's doing on a week by week basis.
And I think the effect that it might have like immediately might be on the men's game, honestly, because the women, as of right now, you can't go in the WNBA unless you're 3 years into school. So they have to stay in this for the junior year. I think what's going to happen in men's college basketball is maybe dudes are just going to stay, because what's more fun than having the whole country know who you are? Like, you can go into the NBA draft, go get drafted in the first round, and then play for whoever. Then you just kind of get lost. Like, that's cool. Go play for the Blazers. I'm not gonna see you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, go sit on the bench for a WNBA team, for an NBA team. Like, I'm not gonna see you. But like, when you watch somebody for 3 years or 4 years, and some of these girls with the COVID year, like 5 years or whatever, like, you get to know them. You get to see them succeed and fail and go to the Final Four, and then maybe the next year they don't get out of the second round and they go back or whatever. You get to see all those ebbs and flows. And I think if you're a guy playing college basketball and you're about to do some NBA eligibility, and maybe, like, I don't know, I would just think about becoming a star in college and how big of a deal that is for you, and how lucrative that is for you now too.
Now, yeah,
Because it's not like it
especially, yeah, with
was back in the
NIL.
day. It's like that can be very lucrative for you if you are the best player at Duke for 3 years. Like, what? Like, how much money
For
would
sure.
JJ Redick have made? He was there the whole time. Like, I can't think of people who are more popular, more loved and hated and talked about than JJ Redick in the early 2000s. So, like, think how much money he would have made in college. I don't know. I think that may end up being like the immediate impact, is people being like, yeah, we're staying. I'm staying.
For
This is
sure.
fun. Yeah,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
who knows?
We'll see.
Well, that was getting off our chest. And now let's get into some brewskis.
Let's do
Dan,
it.
so I have a beer that I was thinking about recently, because I have a Scottsdale shirt on right now. Old Town Scottsdale. Love Scottsdale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, love Scottsdale. And I was thinking about this because basically a year ago, I was there. And this beer, it is called the Smooth Hopperator from Craft 64 Brewing Company. And I absolutely love this beer. And because it's an IPA, it was smooth. It was hazy, but like not all that hazy. And it was just a really good beer. I had three of them because I was on vacation, no kids, loving life.
Ooh,
Freaking,
there you go.
let's go. And it was awesome. So the Smooth Hopperator, Craft 64 in Scottsdale. If anyone's ever
I
there,
like that.
hit it
Yeah, I
up.
like that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that advice 2 weeks ago.
Your trip happened. I swear, you were like, I'm going to Scottsdale. It was like, you're like, I'm going to Phoenix. And then next thing you know, you were there. I was like, wait, why did I miss the
Was there,
dates on this?
and then I was back recording a podcast with these
Yeah,
two
like you
fools, just like that.
exactly. I was like, oh, I didn't even have time to tell you where to go.
Yeah.
But you did go to the bar that was the train station, and that place is amazing.
Yes,
That
incredible.
shit's incredible. Forget what the hell it was
Such a
called, but
blast.
yeah, because
Yeah.
Pete told me, Pete, shouts to Pete, and listen to the brunch breakdown. He told me to go there, and that place is awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For me, I got a brew for us here today. Dewey Beer, known pretty well from Dewey Beach in Delaware. This is their pineapple cherry marmalade fruit smoothie. Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you by just a couple and a 5% ABV. Easy, nothing bad there. I can tell you from just a couple sips and a couple peaks inside, she's thick. This is a smoothie beer. This is a smoothie beer, no doubt about it. And it's a great blend. I always have this like love-hate relationship with cherry because like I like the authentic flavor of cherry and cherries, the fruit. But artificial cherry is one of those things that just it doesn't work a lot of the time. Like artificial cherry, artificial grape, artificial watermelon, to me, they don't line up. This is the real deal. They got real pineapple, real cherry in here. The beer's actually red from the cherry, and it's got this like, it's not just fruit, it's this marmalade type of, there's almost like this just, I almost get a hint of like marshmallow, which isn't there, I don't believe, but it's kind of coming through, and it just balances it really, really well. Dewey does some awesome things. It's pretty widely available if you can get to Dewey. Pineapple cherry marmalade. That's what I need today.
Dude, I'm looking at this. I was not ignoring you. I was looking this up. And like,
Researching.
there's a lot of pictures of this poured. It looks like a daiquiri.
It really does. It
Like,
really does.
because I went on
You
their
should have had a
Instagram,
glass.
because I went on their Instagram and like they have a picture of it. And I'm like, all right, this might be like a little, like, of course, like a little Photoshop. But then you go to Untappd and there's just people with just pours of it, because that's what Untappd is for. And it looks like a daiquiri.
Yeah, it really does.
I need this in my life.
Yeah. Dude, he doesn't
Yeah.
mess around.
Wow. You're
It's
thick is
delicious,
right.
refreshing. Yeah.
It literally looks like a daiquiri. Like,
Yeah.
whoa.
It's the frozen pineapple cherry daiquiri. That's what you have right there. Just a
That,
beer.
dude, now
It's
that
delicious.
is what's up. What is your WrestleMania pairing, Dan? What do you pair with WrestleMania?
A challenge every year. It's a
Yeah.
challenge every year. Because we did for WrestleMania for us, it's now 2 days. WWE split it up years ago, where it's like 2 days now. So we have a 2 day binger basically, where we go out for 2 straight days from brunch until the main event is over at 11:30 at night. And so you gotta be cautious. You gotta be cautious. You gotta be smart. We started out with mimosas at brunch both days. Then keeping the liquor going, did a little John Daly, if you will, an Arnold Palmer with the alcohol, went there and then made it to a couple breweries, got a couple of IPAs in there. Maybe I'll share this next week. I did have one beer from Southern Tier, which is rather interesting. So maybe I'll tease that one for next week. It was really good, but yeah, you got to keep the beer light for WrestleMania. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So couple light beers, an IPA in there, here and there, and then finish it off with some pizza at the end of the night. That's how we take care of things at WrestleMania.
Nice, nice,
Yeah.
nice. I don't know what it is, and this is a little tangent. I don't know what it is about every year when WrestleMania comes around, because I don't follow wrestling anymore, but when I did like very heavy. But every year, it's like I won't think about wrestling at all. And then I'll see like a commercial for WrestleMania, or I'll see something about WrestleMania, or hear you talk about WrestleMania, and I'm like, God damn it. I want to go to WrestleMania. And I know nothing going on. I barely know anybody there. I don't know anything. It's just something about that feeling of WrestleMania. And I don't know if it's because, like, I remember, like, whenever we had to go to like the cable office to like get the box, to get the
The box.
pay-per-view, to put it on your TV, and like all of that. Like, you had to get the special box. Like, it was like a whole thing, like a whole routine of ordering WrestleMania up until like a certain age, and now then we're all digital and everything like that. It was like a whole thing of like cleaning up my house and like making sure like I did everything right the month of March or April or whatever to make sure I got to see WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
yeah. And it's something like that has not left me. Like, it's so funny. But every year I'm just like, God damn it, like WrestleMania. And I'm like interested in it. And I'm like, why? Like, I don't even know what's going on. But yeah.
Yeah. Big time feels, big time emotions. They're making crazy attendance records everywhere they go now that it's 2 days. You had the final match last night where everybody, it was like complete nostalgia for people our age, me and you, where, you know, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, but then you have, you know, The Rock comes out and John Cena comes out and then The Undertaker comes out. And these are people that have been, you know, gone for a long time, but it was magical and special. And yeah, now streaming on Peacock. So, and then WWE's moving to Netflix next year, at least Monday Night Raw is. So, Netflix people, you're gonna have WWE and maybe WrestleMania. They're discussing where those quote unquote pay-per-views are going to be going, but yeah, available on Peacock. Don't miss WrestleMania. This is it's a fun weekend.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, well, let's get into the main menu. Okay, Dan, there was an eclipse. Feelings, do you have any?
I do. So maybe a little known fact about me, I'm a little bit of a space nerd, so I kind of really am into this type of stuff. Was excited for the eclipse today. We were close. Pittsburgh was in what they called 97% coverage. We weren't in the actual central path, but we were close. But places like Cleveland, Youngstown, Ohio, Erie, PA had record, you know, prices for hotel rooms, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, people crowding that whole stripe around the continental U.S. So I'll say this. I'll say a couple things. First, I did get to see the eclipse with the glasses today in a very unexpected fashion, which I can't share for air. If you want to know, text me. DD, I'll tell you after the show. So I did get to see it. I also got some pictures from people in the path. My sister being one of them, my mom as well, did some traveling. We went and saw it. The amount of places, and I mean daycares and schools that were closed today, not in the main line, not in the main path, but like in Pittsburgh, were closed today because of this eclipse, was absolutely ridiculous. Was absolutely ridiculous. What, I mean, what did they think people were going to do? It didn't get dark here. It didn't. 97% coverage. We were an hour and a half away from the path. It didn't get dark here. You needed the glasses to see what was going on. And so I just found it. The commute home was excellent. Don't get me wrong. Because no one was on the road. Because daycare centers were closed. People were working from home today because of it. And schools closed for this thing. I don't think that was worth doing it. I thought that was stupid, but you know, I don't think you can appreciate the eclipse unless you're in the path. I thought it was going to be close enough. It was cool to see, but next time in 20 years or whatever, next time it comes around, I gotta get in the main thing. That's all that matters.
Yeah. School's being closed. If my kids' school were closed for this, I don't know what I would have done. Probably lost my whole mind. Like when they take holidays, you really got to shuffle your schedule around, especially if you work in entertainment like me and my wife do. Like we really don't have off days. So things have to like get moved around. And if you did it for the eclipse, and I get it for actual holidays, right? Get it. But the eclipse is not a holiday. It's not a holiday. But also, you had mentioned earlier stuff that we still care, stuff that we still do, bull riding. The eclipse is one of them for me. I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? You're still so excited about this. And then it's become this thing, which I don't remember this from 2017, but it's probably just because like now everyone and their mother and grandmother literally have smartphones. The pictures of people with glasses? What are we doing? What, like, I don't want to see the pictures of you in your glasses or videos of you just going like this. And it's like, oh, it's supposed to be so funny. What are we doing? I'm still on this. I don't know. I'm like, I don't get excited if the sun is covered. I don't care if it's for 5 minutes or what. It doesn't excite me. I like the sun, you know. One of the funnier things is if you Google or like tweet, like Twitter search or whatever, Seattle eclipse, that's great stuff. So a bunch of people from Seattle just showing you the sky from today and yesterday, and it looks exactly the same. You don't see anything. It's just clouds.
It's so cloudy.
Seattle Eclipse is that'll give you some good laughs. But yeah, but Dan, I knew you were, I knew you would care about this because I know you are a space man. You are an outer space lover.
Yes, indeed. You make a great point though about you go on Instagram right now. It's just people with their glasses on, or even like business accounts of like people like outside. Like, what? Who wants this content? Who wants this? Honestly, and I saw people outside long after it had passed. I was actually driving. The peak was like 3:15 in Pittsburgh. It was three. I was driving on the road. It was like 3:50, and there were still people outside. And I was like, "Get back to work!" I should have yelled out the put out my window. Yelled, "Get back to work! Come on, open the schools up!" Crazy, crazy. But yeah, I think you got to be in the path to really experience it. But I heard it's been an absolute nightmare trying to get around and in and now out of any of those cities along the trajectory. That just seems like. If you're going for it, you gotta hunker down. You gotta stay. Get an Airbnb for the next eclipse. I'll meet you there.
When's the next eclipse?
I think 2044. Did I read
2044?
that right?
All right.
Or is it 2144? All right, we'll be long gone by then. I'll have to clarify.
It can't be 2144.
No.
Can't be that long. No. It
We'll
can't be
verify.
that
I'll
long.
verify
All
that. I
right.
think it's
All right.
2044.
All right. Well, let's go into since Beyoncé put out her Cowboy Carter album, artists we want to see do different genres, because I find this Cowboy Carter album to be a absolute delight. I think it goes so many different places. I am a big fan of this album. I know it is not Beyoncé's greatest album. It is not her best album. I keep seeing people say this shit, and I'm just like, dude, stop, stop, stop,
Wow.
stop, 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 stop. But it is fun. It is a wild ride. It's not cohesive. I think that's one of the more interesting things, because Beyoncé's projects, especially the last like three of them, have been so like tight, cohesive, one note. You know what I mean? But like this one is just all over the place. Like they just got into the studio and were just like throwing shit against the wall and see what sticks. And that's why I like it. But who are some artists that you want to see do some different genres? Dan, who do you want to see? Because Beyoncé, I feel like she started something. Let's go.
She did. She did. And right, like we had this whole, by the way, next 2044, next eclipse confirmed. There's this movement of that's why I guess 5 years now where you have a lot of artists diving into getting into back into pop punk, right? You have a guy like Machine Gun Kelly doing it, and you have a lot of other artists kind of, Willow, dipping their toe into it or diving full into it. And it's been cool, and some are doing it well and some aren't. So yeah, I love this topic. Trying to think outside of that box, right? Because I think that's the easy thing to do because that's what a lot of people are doing now. This one and I may not be a stretch. It feels like we're on the precipice of it at some point. Didi, I need Maren Morris to do like a true pop album, a pop album, front to start. It would be fantastic. And I don't know if we're ever going to get it. Get pieces of it here and there. I need a pop album from Maren Morris.
Okay, see, she's one of the people I had on here because I want Maren Morris to do a full R&B album. Like, I want her to work with R&B producers and make an R&B album. So we're on the same page. It's just
Okay.
I want her to do a full pop R&B album. Like, work with the people who work with Ariana Grande, work with people who are working with Beyoncé. I want her to do a full, like, it's funny we both have Maren Morris on the list. It's just I
Yeah.
just want, she's done so many things. And it's like, if you see her live, it's like you just tell, you're like, I don't feel like I'm at a country show. Like, and I'm
Right.
just like, I just want that from her. I need her to do that. I need, yeah. So we're on the same page there. I need Maren Morris to just go fully in. Go
I
full
love
in.
that.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. For sure. One other one that got me thinking about this concept and this idea, Didi, was when Jay-Z and Linkin Park teamed up for Collision Course. Like one of my favorite like experiment stage periods in music ever. The fact that they put out a couple of songs together for that album was just so fun and wild. It's something that nobody had really ever like heard quite like that before. So I want something like that again. And I think it should still be Jay-Z, but maybe it's with my boys at 21 Pilots. There's already kind of a there's some rap elements within their music. I feel like that could work. I feel like Youngblood could be another artist where there could be some mashing up with that style of music with Jay-Z, somebody like that. So give me Collision Course round two. That was special. That was really cool.
Oh, what a time. That was awesome. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. That was awesome. I was like, so Taylor Swift, she has a new album coming out. Don't know what it's gonna sound like. Probably have an idea of what it's gonna sound like, to be honest. But if Hayley Williams from Paramore is like gonna not do music this much, I'm thinking Taylor Swift just put out the pop punk album. Go for it.
Ooh.
Go for it. Make a run for it. I think it could be pulled off.
You
I
do?
think she could do it. I think she could do it. I think it would be corny. I think people would be very annoyed with what she would do with, like, she would dress the part. I think that would be probably the most annoying part about it all, is that it would
Yeah.
just seem very calculated in all the things. But, like, I think she could do it. And I know that, and because of what she talks about, she is a fan of pop punk music and all of that. And I think she could do it. It'd be very on the pop side of it all, but I think
Sure.
she could do it. I think she could pull it off. It would be cool if this tortured pets department, whatever the fuck this shit's called, was a pop punk album. That would be fire. I think that would be, I would like to see it. Just do something completely different. She already did the left turn with, part of, with Reputation was the big change a little bit. Just change it up again. Why not? What do you have to lose? Nothing.
It's
Go for
true.
it.
It's going to go through the roof no matter what. And I think you're right. But I think it would take a lot more work on her part than really many albums have in the past for her, aside from her dive into, pop and Reputation and things like that. But like Jack Antonoff has to be
Oh,
in the past, like in the back seat
I
of
want him
this
nowhere
album,
near
right?
this. I want him nowhere near this.
He can't do that. You mentioned Hayley Williams. She needs to be the driving force. She needs to work with people who can help her develop into that style of music. Just giving her pop punk songs from the same people she writes music with ain't gonna cut it.
No.
Ain't gonna cut it. So the potential's there. It's gotta be the right people. It's gotta be the right people. But I like that. I like your thinking there.
Yeah.
That could be big. That could be big. I'm gonna go the other direction. Speaking of big names in pop music, Billie Eilish, and I think she could sing anything, truly
Yes.
anything. And so, though this may not be a popular style of music, I want to see her do something different, and I think I want to take her, have her take on it. But like, I want her how to do like a jazz album, or like give me some like Amy Winehouse vibes. Like would just be killer,
Yeah.
killer, killer
Yeah.
vocals. Like she can do it. There's no question. But I would like that little bit of a different side to Billy, and maybe one day we'll get something like that.
Yeah, that would be awesome because she can sing anything. She can do anything. So yeah. And I was in my last one, I was thinking of your boys. Not that I'm not a fan of 21 Pilots, but they're your boys, 21
Thank you.
Pilots. And how I really want them to, I would love for them to do a rap metal record, like a
Whoa.
2000s. Just fully leaning into that. And that is what they're doing. Because it's not that that's not there. Like the elements of, it's not, they take elements from basically every genre. It's all there. But like, I would
Right.
love to see them just do it's so weird to say, a new metal record. Like, it would, and just fully lean in to the rap and rock side of it all and just go for it. Like, I think that would be, I think that would be awesome because it's there. It's just that, they're way more than all just one thing, but it would be cool to hear them just dive fully in and lean heavy on the rap side. I would love that.
Wow. Wow. I mean, good call by you. You're spot on with the elements being there. And if anybody can do it, it's them
Yeah.
fully diving and embracing that. That would be crazy.
Yeah, I would
That would be
love
crazy.
that.
Love that call. Love that call. I do have one last one as well. This one's really out of left field, but like if you think about it, if you think about it, it can, I think it can work. And I kind of went opposite of my last pick. I just told you Billie Eilish jazz. I want Kenny G to do an EDM album. And I think the man of melodies, I think, you know, he had his collaboration with The Weeknd, and that song is amazing. I think with the right people, so it would be the most catchy melodic dance music. It would, and yes, you have sax in there, but not like the whole thing. I think he can just, I think it works instrumentally. He can make it work. I want the Kenny G EDM album. I want it,
Man, man,
DD.
I wasn't ready.
Not ready for that one.
But as somebody who played the saxophone for a year because I wanted to be Kenny G, failed miserably. But gotta tell you, I'm in. I'm kind of in for anything Kenny G wants to do. Like
Yes, oh
I
for
love
sure.
Kenny G. So,
Yeah.
God. And for anyone listening who hasn't seen the Kenny G doc, who's listening to Kenny G on HBO Max, it's incredible. Like it's
It's
incredible.
amazing.
Yeah. So,
Absolutely go watch it. Go watch it
oh
tonight.
yeah, seriously, like right now, go watch it.
It's a great.
God. Well, that was fun. Let us know at Brunch Breakdown. What artists do you want to see play in a different genre? What do you want to see do that? All right, let's get into weirdest shit we saw on the internet this week.
Let's do it. Let's
Yeah,
do it.
let's get into it. Dan, what do you got? What's the weirdest thing you saw on the internet this week? What you got?
So, okay. So this is going to start with a visual that, and I just want you to, it's a clip from Twitter or
Okay.
X, if you will. I just want to show you this portion and then I'll explain it a little bit right here. So this is a post, a tweet from the HuffPost that says
Your
Russell
guy.
Crowe. He makes an appearance on this. This wasn't intentional. I wasn't following Russell Crowe
Liar.
for this. This just came across my feed. It knows that I'm looking and fascinated in his stories. He returns for this segment once again. Russell Crowe says he broke both his legs on set and didn't realize until 10 years later. Okay. So that's legitimately the story I saw on the internet. And here's a quick backstory of it. He was filming Robin Hood in 2010, and he was performing kind of like a mild stunt where he was jumping onto like a really hard surface. And they were originally planning to put padding down, but they were in a rush because the sun was going down. They had to get it. They had to get it. They had to get it. So he did it. He jumped. He said it was a painful landing, like an electric shock through his body. And he had some discomfort and some trouble walking in the following days, but he says he never took a day off from shooting. He was focused on getting it done, and he was gonna tough it out. So 10 years goes by, so, right? So we're basically fast forwarding to around 2020, and he's seeing a doctor because he's had some pain in his legs, and the doctor notices in an X-ray remnants of fractures in both shin bones, and so he says his quote of this story is, quote, "Apparently, I finished that movie with two broken legs, all for art." No cast, no splints, no painkillers, just keep going to work. And over time, they healed themselves. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Russell Crowe. Incredible. Incredible. He breaks his legs and doesn't find out for 10 years. He never disappoints for this segment. Never.
This is now just called Russell Crowe's Weirdest Stuff We Saw This Week. That's what it's now. It's now the Russell Crowe segment of the show. So,
It is. It's too good. I
oh
can't.
my
I can't.
God. What? Broke both. What are we? Russell.
Incredible.
Good God. All right. I've got two things. Weirdest things I saw.
Okay.
So the first one is this sign outside of the Final Four with Iowa. This man whose wife looks like Caitlin Clark, she's pasty white with dark hair, and she's wearing a
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark jersey. I don't think it's that hard to do. He has a sign that says, "My wife looks like Caitlin," with a huge smile on his face. All I thought about was, This is weird. This is really weird. Like, this is your wife. So I'm assuming you and your wife get busy. And are you thinking about Caitlin Clark when you're banging your wife? Is that what's happening?
He is.
Like, I need to know more. I just need to know, like, was this her idea? Was this you? Were you just watching basketball and were like, I think she looked like a couple years ago, she looks like my wife. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let me put a jersey on you, honey. Yeah. Don't you wear your hair back a little bit? Yeah. All right. And like, she didn't really know until Caitlin Clark got super famous, but like, he's known the whole time. I'm a little weirded out. My wife looks like Caitlin is a little weird. I hope this was her idea, not yours, because I'm a little be a little weirded out if she's wearing it. I think she's gonna end up playing for the Indiana Fever. If we see this
Yeah.
guy at a game next year, we're gonna it's gonna be a little weird. A little
Yeah,
weird.
he's gonna have the same poster and she's mysteriously going to be missing. Yeah, really weird. And he's like probably even telling her, like, hey babe, we're gonna make take this photo. Hold your hand up like this. This is what Caitlin does. Just do this. Put your hand up the same exact way. And it's just, I hope she's getting a laugh out of it too. Because yeah, you're right. He's just sitting there one day and goes, that looks Jenny, that looks like Jenny 10 years ago, Caitlin Clark. Why don't we get you a jersey? Why don't we see if we can get famous off of this or something? Why don't we just, boy, that man's got a lot of, and guess what, folks? Been to Iowa. Not a lot to do out there. Not a lot to do out there.
Like, it's he just I don't oh man. He's like, oh well, you're washing the dishes. Can you like put up the three? You know? I just oh God.
Oh
Yeah, this is
boy.
weird. Weird. All right. And the second thing
Very
I
weird.
saw was it Sabrina Carpenter, who looks like she's 12 still. Is really
Yeah.
trying to tell people that she, let people know that she's not. She's in her mid-20s. She's trying really hard to let everyone
Yeah.
know. So if you don't know, on the way to Coachella, there's billboards up for everybody's album, everyone's performance. Like this one says, she's gonna make you come to her Coachella set. Sabrina Carpenter, see you on Friday. There are signs all throughout once you get to a certain point in the desert. All of them, every DJ's got a sign, every performer's got a sign. There's a bunch of them. It's pretty great once you like, because you know you're so close, you just get to it and it's great. You see it. But
Yeah.
this is just weird. Because I'm just like, dude, like, you don't have to try this hard. You don't have to try this hard. Like, you don't have to try this hard. I have no beef with Sabrina Carpenter. I actually enjoy her. She's somebody that like I knew from Radio Disney. Like she was somebody who was always in the building. Like she's a very, very nice
Right?
person. But I'm just like, dude, you do not have to try this hard. You just don't. Like this is just like, come on, man. And I just found it to be so weird. God, you
Yeah,
don't have to try this hard.
no, and like her music's good. That's the thing.
I
She's got
know.
the music should be good enough. It
Yeah.
is. It is good enough. And you're right. She's got this Selena Gomez thing going on where she looks way younger than she is.
Yeah.
And I get that. And that's rough. And I thought when we saw years ago, Phineas, his billboard, Billie Eilish's brother, that says, it said, come see Phineas perform naked live at Coachella on Saturday or whatever. And he had a song title, a single named Naked. And it was like, okay, I see what you're doing. It's kind of funny, whatever. This is that times 100.
Dude.
Like, in like the photo, in the position she's in.
It's like, which is
Boy.
fine. Be sexy. Do what you want. But just the wording here is just like,
It's all, yeah, the
it's
whole
like, hey
package is
guys, I
just too
promise
much.
I'm over 18. I promise. I'm like, yeah. It just comes off corny. But
Yeah, like too,
yeah.
yeah, too much.
But to this point, with this sign, it
Yes.
made me sad
Yes.
because I'm not going to Coachella this year. And I'm fine with not going to Coachella this year, but I am starting to get like, I saw like somebody on one of the Coachella like Facebook groups or Reddit threads, whatever, saw it, and it was like the weather forecast for the week, and I was like, oh no, Coachella's this week. Didn't even realize it was, and I don't know. I'm sad, and Dan, I need you to tell me how to get through my Coachella withdrawals, because this is the first year that Coachella is happening that I am not going since I moved here, and I'm starting to get the shakes. I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm just starting to get the shakes. It's going to be a rough weekend.
It's good. You got to have good willpower. It sounds like you do. I went through this same stage of emotions last year, being my first year that I didn't go with all those consecutive years that we had gone together. So I can tell you a couple of things that'll help you. First of all, have you looked at the weather forecast for Indio this weekend?
I did.
What are you seeing?
It's like 90 something on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday it's like 80.
Okay. So not that, okay, that doesn't help. Never mind.
No, it didn't help at all. It didn't.
Sometimes
help.
You pull it up and you see 100 there and you're like, good. All right. That's
honestly,
that's okay.
That's what I was hoping to see, and I did not see that. I was like, right. It's like Friday it's going to be like blazing hot, and then the other 2 days are going to be like kind of perfect.
Yeah.
And shoot. I'm like, okay. Thanks.
All right. Well, first step, I do advise you, don't go cold turkey. It didn't work for me. Okay. That it plays with your mind. It hurts too much. So watch the streaming performances, but only watch the ones you like really care about. Okay. That's what I did last year. I wanted to have that thing on all weekend and just have it on in the background. I knew that wasn't going to be good for me because I'd be thinking about it constantly. But I also didn't want to miss out because I know how great it is in some of those performances, especially people I've never seen before live or something like that. So that's one thing I did is don't ignore the streaming performances, but only watch the main ones that you really care about. Just kind of handpick them. This thing right here, your phone, the X app, avoid it. Particularly for you, avoid as much as you can weekend one, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It can be brutal. It can be brutal to try to do that because you see a lot on there. You see quite a bit on Twitter. So do your best to limit that. Go outside, you know, something like that. And then one of the more important things for me last year that got me through it was I was able to remind myself, and maybe it helps because Didi, you know, in most, if anybody listening isn't aware, the room I'm sitting in, I'm literally sitting across from five posters, the five Coachella years that I've been to. And it helped me looking back, and I literally see these every day. It helps me looking back at some of the most incredible years that we got to witness there. And then looking at this year's lineup. And for me, it was looking at last year's lineup and just being like, it wasn't going to be better. It wasn't going to be better. I'm not saying you wouldn't have had a good time. We all would. But I just look at some of these names and I'm like, it's just not there. It wasn't there last year. And I really don't think it took a long time for these tickets to sell out.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
So again, you certainly would have had a blast no matter what, but the music portion of it, I think we've seen the peak. We've seen the peak.
Yes, we have seen. I've felt like that too, but I just, all I can think about is T-Pain is playing in the Heineken House.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's killing me. It's honestly killing me. It's killing me. It's killing me. It's killing me. It's killing me. You know, seeing No Doubt, like
that one hurts.
That one hurts because of how good, just seeing Blink-182 last year. It's just, I'm good with not going. I've done it. You know, I've done it enough. I'm good. But man, this weekend's going to be hard. It's like, I don't know. My whole goal was to try to go cold turkey, but I don't know if that's going to work for me.
Yeah,
gonna
that's
have
why
to
I
go back
didn't.
and forth.
Because I felt like it was, because then when you see something, it's just like, it just shocks you back into that system where, you saw none of it, and then you go onto Twitter, and then there it all is, and you're like, this was no good. This was no
Yeah.
good. So watching some of the performances did help, but it's a, you'll get through it. It's 3 days, the hardest 3 days. You need another festival. We need another festival to go to
We
that
do.
we just need to look forward to. You need another festival to look forward to. Doesn't have to be the greatest one of all time, which we've been to, but
We do.
scale, we'll just scale it down a little bit. That's all.
Lollapalooza lineup looks great.
It does. The producers of Lollapalooza are creating a music festival in the Steel City later this year. We don't
Oh,
have any
really?
details, but we do
Ooh.
know it's the same group. So
Ooh.
stay
Ooh.
tuned.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, enough Coachella depression. I'm gonna
Yeah.
miss the billboards. Driving out to the desert. Anyways, let's get into music, Dan.
Let's do it.
Let's get into music. Dan, what are you listening to? I need a moment.
Since we're not won't be listening to this on the drive out to the desert, but listening to this at home this week, Glass Animals, they are back. As part of their announcement about their new album that they have coming out in July, they released a track called Creatures in Heaven last week. And as soon as it comes on, you immediately get that like distinct sound and feel of Glass Animals. They're known for their fame of Heatwave, Tangerine, all those great songs. So this one's kind of like spacey. It's a little full sounding. Maybe you should have listened to this while looking at the eclipse today. But they have it's really great to have new music back for them. And excited for more leading up to that album later this year.
Well, of course, Doja Cat is performing at Coachella, and at your last Coachella, Doja Cat was arguably the best there. And
Absolutely.
she put out a new like 7-song like EP that basically goes along with her album. But there's a song on there called Okay Loser, and it's great. So shouts to Doja Cat. Okay Loser. That's how I feel
We gotta
about
get
going to
some. We gotta. I
Coachella.
mean, man, you just feel it in your voice. You can hear it.
Oh.
You can hear it. Well, this song will get you back in the move and moving and grooving a little bit. And maybe I'm stealing it off your list, but a big a group that you and I are big fans of. And just, as I'm telling you this story, I realize that we've seen them live at Coachella, and they're incredible live. The band Lawrence put out a song called "Guy I Used to Be." Now, Dee Dee. Not only are you and I big fans of this group, but we both also agree that songs that feature Gracie are usually much, 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 much better than songs that feature her brother Clyde. But this one features him, and it's really good and super catchy, and it'll get your spirits lifted. Guy I Used to Be from Lawrence.
No, it's really good. It's really good. And I don't know if you've watched and if you've seen any of their like things they put on Instagram or whatever, where it's just kind of like making fun of the fact that like, Gracie is the lead singer of the group or whatever. It's pretty great that they're able to make the joke about it, because I mean, it's obvious. It's like, come on.
Yes, glad it's not just us.
Yeah. I'm like, because I like feel bad when I talk about it, but at least they know that,
I know.
he's figured it out. Whenever he figured it out, I'm happy he figured it out.
Right.
Guys, I'm going back to Cowboy Carter here, and I am going to throw on the
Boy, oh
playlist.
boy.
We're going back. We're going back. Because I've listened to this album so much. I was in my car a lot last week, and this album is just great. And I am going to throw on the playlist Two Hands to Heaven is what I'm throwing on. This song is just awesome. It's just honestly classic Beyonce. This is like the most it's just I love this song. Two Hands to Heaven. Check it out.
There you go. The streak continues on
Oh
the
yeah,
playlist again.
it's gonna keep happening.
Yeah. Last one for me. Another one, another group that we have I guess a common bond and connection with, and a band, yes, that's been on this playlist many, many times. It's been a minute, but they are back. Yes, the group Almost Monday released a song called "Is It Too Late?" And as I'm reading you that title, you might be thinking, is it too late for me to jump on the Almost Monday bandwagon that Dan has been trying to sell us on for years now? And people, the answer is no, but you are certainly running out of time. As we get closer to their very, very, very long anticipated quote unquote debut album, which is sounds weird to say, but they haven't actually released a full-length album before. Coming out later this year, we get this piece. They're opening for part of AJR's tour later this summer, which just unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a great show that will be. But Is It Too Late by Almost Monday?
Almost Monday. Love Almost Monday.
Yep.
All right. Last one. This is another thing that's going to make me sad. Rene Rapp is going to be performing at Coachella, and it hurts my soul that I'm going to miss belting out her songs in the desert. And it's, Dan, I'm going through it.
I can feel it. We have lost you for the last 5 minutes.
It's hurting, it's just, dude. It's just I it's like I don't even want to go. It's like I just feel like I'm supposed to be there. And yeah. It's fine. God, we're gonna put I don't know, Dan. Freaking put Poison on the playlist by Rene Rapp. I'm just gonna, that's a set I'm definitely gonna watch on Sunday afternoon and just be, hopefully it makes me feel okay. Hopefully you're right. But Poison Rene Rapp. And I hope everyone has fun in the desert.
One thing I should have asked you, do you use Time Hop or one of these flashback memory apps or anything like that, a Facebook memory?
Yeah,
you
it's going to be a bad weekend for that.
Be careful. That is, oof.
Because that's going to start.
Be careful there.
The problem with that is like, this is like because this is like a prime Coachella weekend. So like, it's going to start on like probably Saturday on Time Hop and then go for the rest of the week. Like, it's not going to stop. Right. Like, it's just going to.
Looking at the dates.
Look at the dates. Yeah. Like, it's going to go throughout the entire week.
Yeah. Careful there. Careful. Because that's, there's a lot. You're right. And then the years start to all then overlap. It's like Friday from 1 year and Sunday at another year. And just, it's a lengthy Time Hop experience this time of year for all of us. So that's a fair warning to you. Maybe that helps. But also maybe that makes it way worse, and it will probably make it worse. So avoid the time hops.
Because it's just gonna be. It's like because it's you like if for people don't know, we go from Thursday to goddamn Monday. So it's just like I'm gonna see Ralph's cello one day, and then the next day I'm gonna see Ray Shrimmer. Then the next day it's like I don't wanna.
Yeah.
Good God, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're listening to. I promise next week it'll be a lot less depressing, and I'll be here. I'll be present. I won't be somewhere in my mind in the desert and doing the podcast at the same time. So check out the playlist, Sounds of Brunch. Tell Siri, tell Alexa to play the Sounds of Brunch on Spotify, exclusively on Spotify. All right, Dan, any final thoughts this week on the Brunch Breakdown?
Didi, I'll say this. We may not be, and you may not be going to Coachella this year, but never say never. And I promise you, not if, but when Kenny G releases that EDM album and he is in the Sahara tent at Coachella a couple of years from now, I promise you I will be there right by your side.
100%. I can't wait. Kenny G EDM set in the Sahara. I'm speaking it into existence. It's the Brunch Breakdown. We're out.